If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 22. We've been in the book of Luke for quite a while now, and chapter 22 is one of those long chapters, so it's taken us a while to get through that. We'll be wrapping up, I trust Luke by the end of November, 1st of December, because it's been a good study for us. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 22. We're going to look at verses 39 to 46 today. The simple title is Watch and Pray. The events that we're going to look at today take place following the Last Supper. It starts off in Luke 22 at verse 39. Jesus went out as usual. I like that. There was a play. He had a system, a usual habit of his life, and it was to pray, but as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Heavenly Father, this morning, I pray we follow you, that we want to have a desire to know you more. Lord, help us learn how to watch and pray. Lord, guard our hearts, and we pray, teach us today, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Over in Matthew, and I'm going to look at kind of Matthew and Luke and reference Mark because they all talk about this moment in that garden. Over in Matthew, we read this portion about the Last Supper night. Matthew 26, verse 30 says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 36, it goes on to tell us, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. This is what John records in John 18:1, when he had finished praying, because it seems as though when they got to the Mount of Olives, there was this teaching. You can read about it in John in several chapters. And then he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for us. It's an incredible prayer. He says, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went to it. So we have the Last Supper, and then some teaching from Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit after Jesus will ascend back to heaven. And then John records this prayer of Jesus for the disciples as well as for us. Listen to John 17:20. My prayer is not only for them alone, speaking to the disciples, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus prayed for you? He did. You can read more of it in John chapters 15 to 17. I want to kind of give you a map, though, to help us give a possible understanding of kind of what happened after the Last Supper, where they went. Here's kind of a map, and I'll just try to help you. So the city, you can see, is here. So I don't know where they were in the city when they had the supper, but somewhere they left and they went to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is outside of the city, and it's kind of a little mountain range and olive trees all between. And so they went to the Mount of Olives. I don't know how long they were there, but that's probably possibly where Jesus taught that message that John records for us and the prayer. Because then it says they then crossed the Kidron Valley, which is in here, this area, and they went to Gethsemane. And that's where we really find the account of what is happening today in our scripture. Let me go to Gethsemane, because Gethsemane is located somewhere outside the city of Jerusalem, kind of at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Gethsemane means oil press. This is a place where Jesus will undergo a crushing in his spirit and agony of making a final decision in regard to what he is going to do for all of humanity. It's in that garden that Jesus will make the ultimate self-sacrificing decision, yet not my will, but your will be done. I think one of the principles, key principles we can learn from this story this morning is this. Prayer is important. Everybody say that. Prayer is important. Say it again. Prayer is important. How many really believe prayer is important? I think as people of God, we say it is, we know it is, but as we walk through it this morning, I hope that it will deepen in your heart how important it is. As we look at the gospel, it appears that Jesus spoke first to the whole group of disciples as they got to Gethsemane. In Luke 22:40, he records, on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Now, after that talk to them, I want you to pray. Matthew records that he took Peter, James, and John a little further with him in Matthew 26, verse 37. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." I believe there's another key principle here about prayer that is a part of this passage, and it is this: we should pray for spiritual strength. How many think we need to be praying for spiritual strength? Every hand needs to go up. We need to be praying for spiritual strength. He tells them, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Jesus warns them in Matthew 26, 41. Here's how he says it. Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Each of us can think, well, we're spiritually strong. I can make it through the day. And you kind of have the feeling of Peter, like we talked about last week, thinking he was going to stand strong when he didn't. Church, we need to watch out that we do not fall to the temptations of this world. We need to pray and keep our minds heavenward focused so that the earthly things will not distract us. Church, we know that our spiritual man wants to pray. How many of you come in today and you worshiped, and in your worship you're like, "Lord, I do love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done." When Pastor Chuck came up, and it's like, have you been through a place where you felt surrounded, but God delivered you because he surrounded you even greater, and you clapped and you celebrated that moment? But what happens is our flesh is weak. And when you leave this place, you'll go to a restaurant and maybe you'll pray over your meal, but then other things begin to creep into our thoughts and our activities and anxiety and all of that. And we got to guard against that, because we've got to have this attitude that we keep watching and we keep praying because our spiritual man wants to. How many of you enjoy worshiping the Lord this morning, right? We want to. But the flesh is weak, and we usually do not pray as much as we want to pray. But when we pray, it gives us that opportunity to come to our Heavenly Father and ask him, say, "God, alert us to our weaknesses." How many want to know what your weaknesses are? You need to know what your weaknesses are. God, help me see them and then strengthen us during the times of testing. If I know what my weakness is because God's revealed it, then that time of testing comes. Lord, strengthen me. I know I'm weak, but you're strong. Church, we need to spend personal time in prayer with God. It is highly important. Why? It's in those moments that God can reveal things to us that we cannot see without having that quiet time with God. Prayer is vital for us to have spiritual strength every day. The Lord even taught us in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not into temptation." It's not that the Lord ever would. It's saying, "Lead me, Lord, in the way I'm prone to go. I have this tendency to want that, so lead me not into the temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." That's how we should pray. We need to watch and pray so we don't fall into the temptation. Amen, church? Let's take a moment and look at the prayer of Jesus. He not only exhorts his disciples to pray, he prays. Luke 22, verse 41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Church, I still believe that God has angels, ministering angels, and I maybe you just haven't spent enough time in prayer to have one come and visit you. But I'm telling you, he gives his angels charge over us. And they came and they ministered to the Lord in prayer. I still believe in the miracles of God. I believe that God works in miraculous ways, but we don't spend enough time with God to have him work that way. Verse 44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. A couple of things we can notice as we hone in on this private, intimate prayer of Jesus as he's facing going to the cross. The first thing I want you to note is the anguish of Jesus. Matthew and Mark both tell us that Jesus told Peter, James, and John these words. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Luke adds this other detail in verse 44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I want you to notice the text did not say that Jesus actually sweated drops of blood. It says his sweat was like drops of blood. Now, there is a condition called hematidrosis, where in extreme anguish, it can result in blood and sweat being released together. And the term actually comes from a Greek word, but that Greek word is not used here in Scripture. But I do know that Jesus was in great agony, and I believe that as he sweated, it was like drops of blood, whether it was combined or not. The bottom line is he was in deep prayer. Now listen to a definition, though, of the Greek word for anguish or agony. It's the word agonia, which means a struggle for victory as one who wrestles. This is the agony or an extreme mental struggle with emotions. Either definition is what Jesus was accomplishing for you and for me. It was a victory that was allowing him to battle through that night so he could stay to the task that was set before him. He was going to go to the cross and give his life as a payment for all sin for all mankind. Yes, he asked, "Lord, is there another way?" But the very one who had always lived in perfect fellowship with the Father is now going to become sin as he gives his life for sinners. Listen to what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Church, I don't know if you really grasp what he did. The perfect Son of God became sin. He became the very mistakes that we make for all time, from all eternity past to eternity future, all those sins, he bore them. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God, so that we could be clothed with that breastplate of righteousness, not ours, but him, because he did this for us. It was in that garden that night, Jesus was praying to the Father and working through the emotions of his humanity. He was completely divinely God, but he was also completely human. And he worked through those humanity emotions so that the divine purpose of God could be fulfilled. But also in the garden, there's another thing, not just his anguish, but the honesty of Jesus. Jesus tells the Father the truth. He does not want to face the pain and the disgrace that was to come. Jesus, in true humility and in his humanity, he asks the Father, is there another way? Is there some other way we can do this? Church, I want you to know honesty with God is not a sin. Jesus was honest about his feelings, and then he is able to work through those feelings in the presence of the Lord. I think so many times we feel like God, we go to him and God, I love you, I worship you, and here's this and here's that, and take care of it, amen. But I want you to know you can talk to God about anything. He already knows it. But we're kind of like, well, God, you know, I don't want to talk to him about that. Why? Because you're guilty on it. Bring it up. Talk to your Father. It's in his presence. And by the way, he can handle whatever you tell him. In fact, if you'll let him, he'll handle it. But so many times we're like, maybe the Lord really doesn't want to hear all my complaining. Listen, God does. You would think he's perfect. He's holy in all his ways. So though he is not tempted by anything you tell him. He's not changed by anything you tell him. But he's there to help you and to hear you and to care for you. But you need to pour it out. This is a principle that all of us need to learn. Because before you can find strength in the time of temptation or grace in the times of your failure, first you've got to be honest with the Lord. That's where every one of us started when we said, Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner. That was that first beginning place going, God, I've messed up. I need a Savior. I need redeeming. I need bought back. I'm a mess. At what point are we going to continue to walk that way with the Lord? It's best to confess your fears, your frustrations, your anger, your tempting thoughts. All your impurities, lay them before the Lord. Only as we confess our struggles in this life can we seek God's strength to overcome those struggles. Of course, the most important part of Jesus' prayer, I believe, is found in his submission. Not my will. Jesus has one goal in his prayer. I want to honor my Father. I want to honor God. I want to be faithful. Jesus says in Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, there's the will. Take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew what God wanted. But at times, what we want and what God wants are two different things. Let me give you a couple of examples. We want the pain to go away, while God may want us to trust him in the midst of the pain. I think about some of the Old Testament people, and it's not the pain, but it's the ridicule and the things they went through. But the three Hebrew children, I'm sure they didn't want to go to the fiery furnace. And see, we jump ahead in the story and go, well, God protected them. Yes. But they didn't know that. But we're not about to bow to anyone but God. You know what? It's not my will, it's his will be done. And so you go to those places, and in the midst of all that, God does miracles. We would like our desires to be satisfied, while God may want us to find our contentment in him. Lord, this world will offer so much to you, but it will never satisfy you. You need to find your contentment in God. We want people who hurt us to be punished. How many can be honest with the Lord about that? See, nobody wants to raise their hand. Like, I don't really think that way anymore. Yes, you do. But think about it. They hurt us because God placed us in their lives so that maybe while God just might want those people to learn about his love through our forgiveness and our grace. God might just want to use you. Our perspective and God's perspectives are different. Isaiah writes it for us. He records God's words. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that's why Jesus submits his earthly desire to the superior wisdom of the Father. Church, if we're going to pray like Jesus, we need to learn to pray, "Thy will be done." And we do so in faith with a willingness to go and to submit to whatever the Lord deems best for our life. One other thing I want you to notice about this garden prayer is not just the anguish and not just the honesty, but the perseverance of Jesus. We are told that Jesus went back and prayed the same prayer three different times. These were not just sentence prayers. In fact, I believe he prayed for several hours that night. Matthew records it this way: "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?'" So he had been praying for an hour. He asked Peter. Down in verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, and he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Church, Jesus persevered. Jesus stayed in prayer until his spirit was lined up with the purpose and the Spirit of God. He went back a few times to make sure he's truly ready for what was ahead. He wanted to make sure he was walking along the right path. Church, there's a lesson here. If we really want to seek God, then we must sort through all the issues until we're in line with the mind of God. And I don't know that we spend enough time to know that. And it won't happen with a quick sentence prayer. It takes time along with God. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. But I know, just like the disciples, we struggle with long periods of prayer. Listen to what happened in Luke 22. "When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.'" The disciples had been told earlier, "Watch and pray." Once again, "Watch and pray." I believe the disciples wanted to be there for Jesus. They didn't want to let him down. But they were tired. They were sorrowful. It had been a long day. They were physically worn out. They were emotionally tired. The sad part, though, of this is the disciples did not realize the importance of the battle that was going on in the garden that night. And many times, neither do we. That's why we just go, "Well, Lord, you know they're going through stuff. Lord, help them out." But when do we really get on our knees? "Lord, I don't know what that stuff is, but God, I know they need their help. I saw their sorrow. I felt their pain." And you just stay there. It could be intercession. It could be your own issues. I want to know the importance of why we're praying. And unfortunately, we tend to exhaust ourselves with all the trivial stuff of life. We play games, we watch television, we get on the internet, we text on our phones, and then we go, "Well, I'm just too tired," and you're just too distracted to take time to develop the intimacy and the time you need with God. How important is prayer? Church, we must make time for prayer when our minds are sharp and our bodies are rested. A quick prayer when you doze off to sleep or drive into work in the morning, it'll make you feel spiritual, but those prayers will not take you deep into the heart of God. They won't give you the clarity to see His will and the strength to accomplish all that God wants to do through you. So, church, we need to watch and pray more. We need to watch for things that distract us. We need to watch out that we do not fall into sin and temptations. I'm telling you, they are there. But have we spent enough time in prayer? And the way for us to be most effective is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when we are praying, that's exactly what we're doing. And while we're looking at Him, we bring all our concerns, our questions, and our requests. And you know what? The Bible says He hears us. John records, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, in praying to God, that if we ask anything according to what? His will. When have we spent enough time in prayer that we ask according to His will? That's the key. And then it says, He hears us. When I'm there long enough to go, God, all these people have done all this stuff to me, and they've done blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, Lord, I don't care what they've done to me. Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, what have you got planned for my life? And you begin to, all of a sudden, you'll begin to hear God speak to you and how He wants to use you. 1 Chronicles 16:11 clearly tells us, look to the Lord, look to the Lord, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face, how often? Seek His face for 10 minutes a day. Seek His face for a whole hour. Church, there's a place we have got to get to that we have this constant prayerful attitude. Pray without ceasing. Church, we need to learn to become people who always pray. It's like when you leave this place. It's like while I'm preaching. Let me tell you, I'm right here as I'm preaching. My mind is going, God, is there something else? What's next? I have notes, but I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? When I walk out of here, I've got this whole afternoon, and I'm like, Lord, it's a wedding. Lord, I want peace over this. I want everything to go well. And this morning, I got up and looked at the weather. I'm like, Lord, if you could do something about the weather, I'm welcome to it. If not, I'll enjoy it. I try to stay in that attitude. But then there's those times I want to get away. I don't need anybody else to hear my prayer. Sometimes I love praying for people, but I'll tell you one of the problems I have with it is people come to hear what I have to say. You don't need to hear what I'm saying. I'm praying to the Father. Now, if I want to encourage you, I'll encourage you. And the Word of God says this, and let's encourage. But my prayer is to the Father, not to you. There's this place where we've got to get our mindset. So when you walk out of this place and you're getting in your car, like, God, which way do you want me to go home? Lord, where do you want us to go eat? I know we have plans, but is there something you want to change? God, I can't wait till this afternoon. What have you got planned for me, God? In fact, I'll be talking to you a little bit. In fact, I'm going to talk to you right now about it. And you just kind of keep that attitude of prayer, but find those solitude moments where you break away. In church, we don't do it often enough because our flesh is weak. If I had to statistically say what will happen after this service, I would say the majority in this room will walk out of this room and will do nothing with this message. We tend to hear, how many messages have you heard in your life? How many have impacted you? You say, well, I'm waiting for that nugget. I need that nugget. The nugget is pray. It's important. Watch and pray. James, would you help me out here as we close this morning? The most important prayer, obviously, I think, could anyone begins on a relationship with Jesus is to ask Him to be Lord of their life. It's that first moment that you really recognize, I need you. I'm lost. I can't make it. I'm a sinner. And we all got to that place at some point in our lives. Mine was as an 8-year-old boy. The neighbors boys across the street, about my age, but had a few older. And it kind of started with they got mom and dad's cigarettes, and I did that, and I'm like, I don't like that. But then the southern thing to do was, it's called dip, skull. So they had dip, and they're like, you just stick it in there. So I did that, and I'm 8 years old. And yeah, I grew up in church, and I was like, I don't know, it's just nasty. And then they said, oh man, we can use cursing. And all of a sudden, for about 2 weeks of my life, I would just rattle off as many curse words, not at home, but as many curse words as I could to everybody else. I mean, I would learn, is there any new ones out there? I mean, like, I was just like, I'm going to add it in that line. And I went, it was a Sunday night, and Faith Assembly of God. And I remember, I have no idea what was preached, but I know what the Holy Spirit was saying. This little 8-year-old boy, I went to that altar, and I remember kneeling. And it was that moment, even though I'd probably been saved 100 times before in the sense of I believe in you, it was that night for me that I said, I'm a sinner. I was missing the mark. That's what sin is. I've talked to you about that. I was just missing the mark. The mark was I was trying to be like the world instead of trying to be like God. And it was that night, as a little boy, I surrendered my life. And from that day forward, I can tell you to this day, not one curse word has ever come out of my mouth except for 10th grade. It was in school. I was walking down the hallway. Somebody said something to me, and I turned around and called them a name. And the Holy Spirit went, that's not you. Convicted over my language. That's why I guard certain words, even in my language. I'm like, I don't want to flirt with it. It's just not worth it. There's other good words in our language. But it was that night I came to that place, I'm a sinner. And that's where it started. Now, I've grown, and I've had to continue to grow, because that took care of language, but it didn't take care of the attitude. Because I remember later on, somewhere in the middle of high school, I didn't curse, but I used hot diggity dog. And I mean, something would happen. I'm like, hot diggity dog. And found out that that was cursing because it was an attitude. And the Holy Spirit said, we can deal with that. Okay. First of all, stop saying hot diggity dog. And because why? Because that was one of the triggers. I needed to learn, right? I had to grow. I had to learn what those things that were leading me the wrong way, and let God work. But that came at a time, again, just a quiet time, because otherwise I couldn't hear his voice. I wish I prayed more. Oh, I wish I prayed more. But my flesh is weak. So church, I'm calling you up. I'm calling me up. We need to spend time with them. Prayer is important. In fact, you want to be Christ-like, just go read how many times he withdrew away to pray. And he prayed all night. When was the last time you prayed all night? Not because you were still awake, but because you chose to. Would you bow your heads? If there's anyone in the room that needs to start that relationship with God right now, either you have fallen away from him because you've allowed the world to distract you, or maybe it's the first time to say, I recognize I'm a sinner. but I know there's a Savior. Jesus died on the cross for you. He became sin for you so that the wages of sin would not lead you to death, but you would have the gift of life, eternal life from God to live with Him forever. If you want to make that decision, balcony, main floor, would you just slip your hand up and we're going to pray. Yes, ma'am. Just glance around. Yes, sir. You put your hands down. I just want everyone to pray with me. Maybe we just all need that fresh start again. And would you just say, Heavenly Father, I recognize I'm a sinner, but I recognize you're a Savior. I ask you today, forgive me, make me clean, be Lord of my life from this day forward. As I pray this prayer, I choose to follow you and I choose to get to know you. Speak to my heart, grow me, lead me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Heaven's celebrating.